listener production.
Well, Ham, this is our remembering project.
Yep, where a random day of the year is selected and we look up the run sheets from all our shows from across the years to find any we did on that day.
Over 20 years, that's about 2,500 shows and roughly 26,000 talk breaks. Today, we pick one. One talk break only and try to remember what happened based on what was written down on the run sheet from that day.
As always, we've got podcast Mike with us here for any technical stuff.
Hello.
Mike, what date was randomly chosen today?
It's the 30th of March.
Okay then, it's Haim's go. Here's Mike with the sponsorship stuff before we find out what year Haim will take us back to and see if we remember anything from that day.
This is Hamish and Andy's Remembering Project.
Ando, bit of a smorgasbord, March 30.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of options, I'll start with the most recent that I just want to bring up. This is not the grab that I want to play. The 30th of March was the day before we ate the board in 2017.
Yes.
That was our attempt to eat the board. So do you know what I think that was? I think it was actually the day before we didn't eat the board.
At McDonald's, this is. We wanted to eat the entire menu.
Always something we dreamed about.
It had to be classic and available.
And original. Yeah, sorry, classic and available.
Yeah.
You're right. So it couldn't be...
Couldn't be the McRib if it was just coming past.
That's a limited time only burger.
Yep. And
it meant the Angus burgers were out.
Yep.
Because that wasn't classic. We're talking about when we were growing up in the 90s.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm just choking on a chip, ironically enough. When we were growing up in the 90s, the board that we all remember.
Yes.
The bone of contention came from the chicken and cheese, which is a small McChicken.
Which I was adamant we shouldn't include the chicken and cheese. It wasn't classic at all.
Yeah, I reckon on this day too in 2017 was when I was vehemently supporting the chicken and cheese.
Yes, and you feel like it might have...
Because I made the error of being hungry while we did the show.
Yes.
So when I was saying, let's include it, what I really meant was I want one.
Yes.
And that wasn't helping us because, you know, we agreed the next day we're going to do the show from Macca's, split up the board, you know, who gets what, eat it together,
yep.
See if we can get through the entire menu together. It was going to be four or five burgers each plus your nugs and your
thick shake and sundae cookies. Cookies we had in
to
there.
To prove to you that it was classic and
available.
I had someone go and fetch one during the show. Carly, if I remember correctly, one of our producers, Carl's nicked off down to the nearest Macca's, got a chicken and cheese, came back. We moved on by that stage in the show, so I didn't eat it
fresh. You did not eat it fresh.
I did not eat it fresh. I ate it 1 hour later, at which stage it was cold. Something wasn't right when I bit into that chicken and cheese, but I went, I think it's just the coldness. I'll press on. I was hungry, so I was happy to eat a cold one. Later that night,
yes.
I got what can only be described as violent food poisoning.
Yes.
You know, it happens to the best of restaurants.
Yeah.
But I do think it was that bad chicken and cheese. But I couldn't say that on air.
No,
I didn't say it at the time because it just didn't seem like the right
thing to do.
Because McDonald's would have been quite nice letting us do the whole show from there. And it wasn't a sponsored thing. It was just, we just really liked McDonald's.
And we'd build ourselves up to eat the board the next day. Mm-hmm. And you had to call in sick and say, I cannot eat under these conditions.
Yeah.
So we got delayed today, and maybe that's what cost us as well. We didn't quite get through the board.
No. Then on the Monday we did it.
We got a stunted start.
And it was, I was just coming in unconfident.
We went down by a half a burger though, didn't we?
Yeah. Spewed everywhere.
Chicken spewed absolutely everywhere. And the chicken and cheese was part of that.
Would have been the difference.
Would have been the difference.
Going back in time, 2016... You and Beck had just got together. There was something in the wrong sheet going, Andy's a couple together. Beck's an animal lover. Highlighted, Andy hates animals. He doesn't want a pet.
I don't hate animals. So, it sounds like I go out and, you know, shooting with my mates.
Yeah. Only guy trying I know to take that's down, got two rhubarbs.
Trying to take down as many as possible. I just have never had a pet.
Yeah. Well, in the run sheet it was all about how, you know, can you guys be together?
Right.
Turns out, obviously, it's been fine.
Okay.
And we know the tall terrier is on its way.
It's on its way.
Allegedly. Yep. I still haven't seen it yet, but we'll certainly see it coming from the shadow it casts before it gets here. Here's something that amused me. Back in 2012, again, not what I want to get to, but something that made me smile when I saw it in the run sheet from the 30th of March 2012. Carl Stefanovic was on the show.
Right.
Talking about his documentary he'd made on the Great Barrier Reef.
What?
Does anyone remember when Steffo took a quick detour into Louis Theroux's territory and did a doco on the Barrier Reef?
No.
I mean, he is a proud Queensland boy.
And he was probably worried about it, you know.
He would have been worried about it, yeah.
Because, you know, it's being devastated by climate.
Maybe, or maybe.
Great Barrier Grief or something.
Well, maybe 2012 it was just more.
Just get up here, love it.
Here are the wonders of the reef. He just decided to get out there. I don't know, maybe he was just on holidays and had an underwater camera housing and went, geez, some of this is looking good. Put a bit of voiceover on this.
We went out to the Great Barrier Reef together. Where we first, in our first year of knowing each other, just on a holiday.
Would have been 2002.
Yeah. And both of us were feeling a little woozy on the rough, the rough ride.
Do we go to Townsville?
We
took a boat out of Townsville to get to the reef.
Yep. And
that's the day remember the guy hit the reef in the glass bottom boat? you go to Townsville, Mike, and you get to like a pontoon, quite a way offshore. I guess, I don't know, an hour or so boat ride. So,
and they're talking about the conservation of it all.
Yeah, don't you dare!
This is so pristine.
Don't touch it.
Don't, when you're snorkeling, don't touch it. Stay at least a meter above.
Don't let your fins hit it. Yeah. Yeah. And so we were doing a bit of snorkeling, but the guy took us on the glass bottom boat to do a little cruise around, and we were looking through the bottom of the glass going, geez, he knows how to, he knows this reef. Look how close he is. He's a good driver.
We were so impressed, Mike.
Me and Andy are like, geez, how's the skills on this guy? Like, the reef
and we're going, maybe it's amplifying it. Maybe it's magnifying it.
Yeah, maybe it looks closer than it is through the glass bottom. And then suddenly,
oh, no.
It really jolted. The guy shat himself, didn't he? Like, immediately look back to the pontoon because there's several glass bottom boats going out from the pontoon going, shit, if someone's seen this, I'm out of a job. And then he was just gutting it in reverse grind it back off the reef.
And 10 years later, Carl Stefanovic's doing an investigative report into what happened to this bit of reef.
Trying to find Darren who ran aground on the reef.
We know.
Anyway, I do remember that era. Remember Steffo was doing that stuff and he was on 60 Minutes and maybe this was that sort of era of Stefanovic's, in his palate because he's a man of many talents and maybe that was just the time where he was like, no, I'm going to be branching out and doing a bit more serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the dabbles.
Yeah.
One of the dabbles. Anyway, I didn't think it was worth listening to because
I'm glad you didn't pick it.
It would have been tell you what it would have been. Two guys called Hamish and Andy pretending they'd watched the full documentary.
it was a 3-episode series by the looks of Wikipedia.
Yep.
Yeah. That's all the information I've got.
Couldn't get it done in one. Couldn't
bloody
get
big reef.
Bloody big reef.
One of the biggest. Yeah, you can't fit it all in one app. I suppose, bottom of the reef, middle of the reef, surface.
Yeah. That's how I break it up.
Well,
it's got an 8.3 on IMDb.
Yeah, from Carl.
How many votes?
684.
Okay.
Not bad.
Wow. That is a lot of people that have gone to IMDb to vote about a 10-year-old Great Barrier Reef
doco. You know exactly what's happening here, though. When something comes out like this, companies, Channel 9 would have done it, at the radio station did it all the time. Group all email. Can everyone just jump on IMDb and give this little tick, please? They've got probably 20,000 employees at 9 across the whole country, and only 600 could be bothered.
Flood this doco. But by the same token, what sort of an asshole hates a documentary on the Great Barrier Reef so much that they would go and give it like a zero?
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't mind middle.
Yeah.
I hated bottom. Surface was terrible. The finale stunk.
It's actually, the Blu-ray is available on Amazon.com. There's one left in stock. So you can own the last ever copy.
Of a possible three.
I'm going to pass.
Carl has a lot going on and I can promise you he's not sitting at home waiting for the email, for the royalty email of the Blu-ray from his Great Barrier Reef doco. Okay. Here's what I wanted to get to.
Yep.
2007. I saw this coming up, this has to be the pick. Danny Minogue came on the show, again, possibly in a judging capacity for some sort of show.
Would have to be because I only just recently went, Danny Minogue, boy, has she stood the test of time for being a coach on voice on things or a judge on things.
Yep.
She did, Masked Singer more recently.
Given a lot to the game.
But Australia's Got Talent.
Yep.
She was from back there. She's done the X Factor.
Do you reckon she was on the show So You Think You Can Dance?
I think she was. I thought she was So You Think
Could
You
Can Dance. Could have
dabbled. Yeah.
One of those shows again that pops on the run sheet. Going, I reckon we had a lot of people on from that show.
I reckon she would have had been a judge or on one of those shows for.
Relentlessly.
18 of the last 20 years.
Yeah,
Mike, what have we got there?
Looks like in 2007 she was on Australia's Got Talent and the X Factor UK.
So you remember she did UK? Yeah. That was big. Mm. She was on that with Sharon Osbourne and that really boosted. Danny played a little bit of the, all right, I'll come home and do you guys a favour. And we were appreciative.
And exactly. And now she's alongside Dave Hughes, who has Sharon Osbourne vibes at times.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is some overlap on the Dave Hughes, Sharon Osbourne Venn diagram, isn't there?
Yes, you know, kind of a
mad hair.
Mad hair. Aggressive voice from time to time.
And you know, can get a head of steam up and can be commanding a monologue.
Yes.
Without, yeah. Not wild, Andy. And I think Hughesy would be the first to admit it.
The Sharon Osbourne of Australia.
The Sharon Osbourne crossover. Danny Minogue bought in something incredible to the show. Do you know what it is?
No.
Let's hear from our sponsor and I will fill you in next.
Mike, well done. And good not rushing it.
Because yeah, well done to keep your composure, Mike, after I told everyone, I kept everyone hanging on. Because the Lee family farm backed onto the Minogue family farm in the Melbourne suburb of Canterbury growing up. The two properties were close to each other. You shared a back fence. The children would wander back and forth between paddocks.
Well, I went down it was down the road and then the Minogues moved in behind us. So, yeah, it could have been depending on the year. But I went down to get Kylie's autograph.
Did she live at home with her parents?
No, this is last week.
And her dad said, tell me to buzz off.
Yeah.
And then the second most exciting Minogue moment for me growing up was Danny Minogue dated Jacques Villeneuve, the Formula One driver for a while, who was like this hot Formula One driver. Jacques came out to meet the family. So
you could hear him.
I wandered down to try and get a little bit of a glimpse of Jacques.
While we're meeting, while we're letting strangers into the house, perhaps I might join as well. Well, because there is the connection, Danny bought in, had a copy somehow of your primary school musical.
What?
Remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
I don't remember. I don't remember
bringing it on the show. No. She's the one that bought it on the show.
I have the biggest lisp in the world. Which musical? The
I Hobbit? Reckon oh, from my memory, it's Not a Penny.
Not a Penny.
Which is such a good name for a primary school musical that was no doubt written by one of the teachers.
It is written by a teacher. It covers the 1930s depression era, which is very difficult. And it's
fun and exciting time for kids.
Perfectly captured when nine-year-olds sing by
Nine-year-old children in one of the most elite upper-middle-class white suburbs of Melbourne. Yeah, let's hear when Danny bought. I think this is the bit we should put it in.
The 30th of March, 2007.
Now, look, Danny.
Yeah.
Andy doesn't know this, but there's a special reason you're on the show today. I just want to say thank you, Danny, because you've come to the show with a little something that I think is basically a nugget of comedy gold. You've volunteered to come on the show, Andy. You don't know what we're speaking about.
Do I want to know what we're speaking about?
Danny, can you tell our listeners what has come into your possession?
Well, what do you think I could have in my handbag that would have anything to do with you?
I don't know. I know our parents used to live in the same street, so
ooh,
is it...
He's
okay.
Honor,
we were having a little street party. A couple of weeks ago, and we're out, you know, just having a few glasses of wine, some beer, barbecue, and one of the girls from down the street, her daughter came up and she said, oh, I go to the same school that Andy went to, and I said, oh, really? And she said, I've got this very interesting VHS of his first play that he did. So in my drunken stupor, I went, go get it!
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, I give you the children and staff of Baldwin Primary School's 1993 production of Not a Penny. Look, Andrew Lee is listed as playing a young gentleman called James O'Reilly. But look, I've had a watch of this several times and it gets funnier and funnier. But I thought, as a special treat for our listeners, Danny, I've put together a little synopsis of Andy's work in Not a Penny. Set in the late 1920s, Not a Penny tells the harrowing tale of how hard it was to find employment, as was highlighted by the group opening number, Please Oh Please Can You Give Us a Job, Give Us the Chance to Earn a Few Bob.
Please oh please, can you give us a job, give us the chance to earn a bob.
The next scene involves a few of the cast members playing cricket for, and I'm not joking, a full minute and a half. This is where keen audience members might have spied one Andy Lee, aged 11, fielding in slips and getting a little angry when girls drop catches.
Come on!
And Andy's frustration grew to the point where he dives for a catch at one stage and hits his head on a pole. But the young diva ends the cricket match when he gets out.
It's no good!
And this is where we get to hear Andy's character, James O'Reilly, give a stirring monologue.
I've got to do something to help Mum. She struggles night and day to look after us. Dad's up north, trying to make good. Can't just sit at school all day. I've got to do more to help.
So young James O'Reilly heads off to find work. But alas, there's trouble on the way. Some beggars.
Hey, mister,
what's your problem?
Which the orchestra feels is an appropriate time to burst into another song. However, I will spare you the full song. Andy then goes to the boot factory to get a job, where the over-enthusiastic cobbling in the background makes the audio impossible to hear.
You're putting yourself to song, yes. This is your first job, James.
Now that Andy's character, James, has secured a job, he's going home after his first day of work. But again, there's trouble on the streets.
James, isn't it? Snatcher. I don't know what you mean.
But you do know what they mean, James, and they beat you up, much to the amusement of the audience. The next day, back at the boot factory, James is told to go and bet on some horses for his boss. But once again, due to the over-enthusiastic cobbling in the background, you can't hear the dialogue. But there's trouble for James at the off-licence betting premises. Some children dressed as police barge in and arrest him.
Kids, come along with us.
Andy's character James puts up an amazingly dramatic struggle, which impresses the audience, led by a woman who, I suspect, is Andy's mum. Best is yet to come. Andy's character, James, meets a very quiet girl on the street and explains his predicament.
I lost my job yesterday.
I'm sorry.
But how can they share their sorrow together? I know. What about a duet? Hit it, well-tuned band. Wish it could go on longer. And it does.
Hope we'll find a longer climber. Pray we'll find a friendly shore.
Bravo, Andy Lee, you 11-year-old shining star. Not a penny, but 6 pounds of talent.
Oh. We had no idea Not a Penny was so hilarious.
Oh, like every good stage show, when you film it, you don't get the essence of how good it is.
Was it even worse?
It wasn't made for video.
Wow, the most amazing thing is, and we're filming these podcasts, and yep. Let's put it up. You remember the lyrics? Andy's sitting here singing along.
I also remember that the band that was all school students.
You can tell.
But the 5-6s.
No one's accusing them of being the Melbourne Philharmonic.
Grade 5-6s were in the plays. Normally it was grade 3 and 4s in the band. There was one violinist called Chinchi who just kept falling asleep.
It'd be a long set.
There'd be Mr. Arnold, who wrote the play but also conducted the orchestra.
It can be a long
just
set.
Just trying to get Chinchy up and about.
Oh, so, and that goes for everyone in the orchestra. Let's all wake up. Mike, you went to high school on a half choral scholarship.
Mm. Yes.
As a talent scout.
Yeah.
Did you detect any scholarship-worthy notes in a young Andy's voice?
I think you've got a really strong voice because you couldn't even hear the girl singing harmonies behind you. You were singing that loud.
Was it harmonies, or do you think they were just singing the same song together?
No, I think there was a girl singing harmonies.
We're attempting harmonies.
Sure.
Yeah, I probably wasn't as giving because yeah. She's on a high falsetto and I'm just going...
I'll take it from here with my powerful soprano.
Good memory.
Really fun.
Listener.